Good morning, and welcome to the Holy Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Joanne Haig, and I will be your host for today. And looking after all things technical is my good friend, John Stout. The number to call, 434-1790. And if you want to send us a WhatsApp message, it's 266-4862. Now, what's on my mind? I believe it's what's on everyone's minds right now this morning, and it's still about COVID-19. One of the things that struck me yesterday with some communication that came from the Ministry of Health was the fact that they needed to get some information pertaining to individuals that would have traveled between the 15th of March and the 22nd, coming from the U.S. or the U.K. They made a public plea for them to call number 832-6171 between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Now, I know this startled a lot of individuals because questions were asked if there was something wrong or why couldn't this information be ascertained through the immigration department. So I'm pretty much sure that we will get some clarification throughout the day from the COVID-19 SAR on in this regard. And in addition to that, be mindful that there are some elderly people out there today and they're in long lines trying to get their pension checks. So wherever possible, if you can help them, if you're family members and you can assist them, please do. It's been a tough 2 days for them. Yesterday, I understand that the lines were very long and some individuals, by the time they got to the top of the line, they were told that they have to come back the next day. I would only hope that those individuals would get first choice at getting their checks changed. So we're not sure how long this will have to go on for, but I'm hoping as time progresses, we will have some more improved plans in place for our seniors. In addition to that, we were having some calls. I myself personally, people were asking about the passes, and I think that the government has to be very careful as to how many people they give passes out to, because it defeats the whole purpose of having a curfew, and we just can't have everyone out on the streets. And the other thing I want to mention, too, is the supermarkets. This morning in the news, we heard from one supermarket owner who said that this was not something that they could sustain, taking these orders via email and WhatsApp. So what's going to happen then moving forward if these supermarkets cannot fulfill these orders in a timely fashion? So I would like to throw one suggestion out there, and that would be to keep the supermarkets open for at least 8 hours and have a combination of the online shopping as well as shopping in-store. But you need to then to put some rules of in-store shopping. For example, instead of using this last name thing, you do it by ID number. Very similar to how you vote. You come up, you give your ID card. You have an appointment anyway, so your name and your number should be there. You go in. The supermarket allows you 30 minutes to shop, 50 people at a time in the supermarket, depending on the size. If it's smaller, then you put less people in. And in an eight-hour day, if you do that, you roughly get 800 people their groceries safely. But it has to be managed in a way where you can make an appointment. You give your ID number. And you go to the supermarket based on the appointment time. You go in, you get your groceries, you come out. That's just one suggestion, because if the supermarkets cannot help the public by way of online shopping, then we need to go back to the table as they're asking to put some other suggestions there. So without further delay, we'll take our first caller. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning, Joanne. How are you?
I'm well, and you? Considering all, I'm okay, put it that way.
Okay, great. I'm fine. First-time caller, but I just felt I needed to call in.
Welcome.
Because I've been hearing all the feedback and everything with regard to what is happening, et cetera, and what measures the government is putting in place. And I just want to say, whatever system is put in place is going to be challenged. And the movement, the suggestion for movement and activity to be based on surname is going to require some oversight at the place of business to ensure adherence. And we all saw what happened yesterday with the NIS check cashing, which was based on surname. And I think a similar thing, you alluded to IDs. A similar thing, I think, would happen with regard to IDs. I think we just need to put country above self and obey what systems are put in place. Everybody's not going to run out of food at the same time. So wait until you run out and go to the supermarket or place that order or whatever. So it would relieve the pressure on the supermarkets and on whichever business place with which you have to do business. We just have to get out of the panic mode and just relax and wait until there's a genuine need to access those facilities. That's my view on the whole thing.
Well, I can't say I disagree. In a perfect world, that can happen or should happen. But what happens where they're older people, you have to still put some systems in place. We can't just look at it and say, look, this is it's an emergency. Hold it down and don't come out. You still have to put one or two things in place, I would imagine.
I totally agree. So the old people, whoever's taking care of them or whatever, would go out. And I'm saying just go out there on an as-need basis is what's being preached to us.
Mm-hmm. You know, somebody once told me, actually they told me this recently, not once told me, but you have to pretend like this is a war, you know, and it is. It's actually a war on a virus that's killing people. And in war, there's no luxury. There, you know, you have to take a step back. You have to put a little bit of sacrifice in there in order to get better. Now, truth be told, every time you go outside to do something in the public, you have to hit that reset button for another 14 days because you don't know if you've been exposed.
Absolutely.
That's one thing of looking at it, to stay indoors because you're going to have to hit that reset button. Every time you go out, you're going to have to do it. Now, I think that people with the social distancing thing, well, I believe they changed the name now because I never quite understood the whole concept of social distancing, because social distancing means speaking to people via email and WhatsApp and socially. Physical distancing, I believe, is what we're using now for people to be away from each other at a safe distance. So I hear what you say, and I agree with you, but I'm going to agree with my friend, too, that this is war, and we need to behave like if we are at war, and we don't get the luxuries of buying bread every day when you're at war. You need to sacrifice a little bit in order to get this under control.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been telling my friends, when I run out of fruit and vegetables, I'm going to survive on rice and pasta. I'm not going to die. Mm-hmm. And one last comment with regard to the wearing of face masks. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we've come around to allowing people to wear a face mask, whether sick or not, because I do believe that physical barrier will help us with regard to the spread of COVID. I was one who believed in face masks, and I had intended, if I needed to go out at all, I was going to put on my face mask, even if it were a stipulation or not. I was going to do it because I needed to protect myself and protect other people in case, God forbid, you were a carrier and you weren't aware. So anyway, that's my point with regard to masks. And I just want to appeal to Barbadians. Just give the measures that government is putting in place, give it a chance to work. And yes, there's going to be some situations, some anomalies, whatever, but those can be taken care of on a case-by-case basis if the majority of us adhere to what systems are put in place.
And I want to thank you, too, and I join you in that plea for people to just be a little bit more patient. And I also want to commend the factories right now, the manufacturers that are actually trying to get those masks out. I think it's good on their part to try to do this for the government at a reasonable price. So I want to commend them for doing this exercise. So thank you so much, and you continue to stay safe, okay?
Oh, okay. Have a blessed day now.
You too. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Morning, Isaac.
Good morning.
First time I've ever come in a call-in program so early.
Whoa,
the reason
okay.
It really is hurting me to see how poor elderly people are suffering. money is a finite resource. You can't go to the supermarket if you don't have money. You're going to run out of money at some time, or you're going to have enough of what you want at some time. I would like to urge the czar. You know, the teachers used to tell you, so less noise. He's talking a bit too much. We have a commissioner of police. We have a chief of staff. And they are the people that have the power to get you off the road. All right, stay and do your statistics. Next thing. People have been coming up with some very good ideas. You always seem to come up with good ideas. You work for an outfit where you have customers. And anybody who worked in the old system would tell you, when it comes to billing, they don't like to work A to C. There's too many Allens, too many Braffets, too many Blackmans, too many Bournes, too many Browns. I took my directory up yesterday. This thing ain't about how many degrees you have. I got 2 degrees, but this ain't called common sense. This ain't called first principles. You got to go back to them. Take your directory. Check from A to Z or A to Z. And you would see there are 507 pages. And you would see that from A to B is 90. 90 exact in my directory. And then to move from B to C is almost another 90, 93. And then to move from C to F, then G to J is about another 90. So in other words, you end up with 690s, 540. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the alphabet system, but you work it out. A to 10, A to B, C to F. Is from because the workers must get a break, 10:30 to 12:30. G to J, 1 to 3. That is half you cut out in a day. And then you do the other half, I to P, R to S, T to Z. But A to B, because of our naming system, Allens, Browns, Blackmans, Bournes, Browns, that is hefty. Next thing, most of our MPs really not doing anything right now. But these are the same people who have on their cell phones, on their smartphones, their constituency laid out street by street. Box captain, road runner. You know who to drop off at Christmas time, the little hampers.
The hampers. Uh-huh.
You know, you knew all who had to get to the polls less than 2 years ago, you know. You know them. And you said, look, Miss Haig, Mom Haig, I coming for you. Don't leave. So they know who to go to. Get 5 hire cars. You know who to get the hire cars from. And you go and you collect up all of those persons who cannot physically get out and tough it out at the post office or not. This is what you do. Virtually every MP is a justice of the peace, is a JP. If he or she isn't a JP, every president of the branch or secretary, and you just appointed a whole slew, you take the senior's check and you write at the back, please pay to Joanne Haig for Alberta Ski. If Alberta or Rufus Brown, the pensioner, cannot write their name out, you draw a little box. And you say, just like when you're doing multiple choice, tell them put the X in there. This is the mark of Alberta Steve. This is the mark of Rufus Boyce. Go and get the old people money. The same way you went for them to the money. Next thing, for the ones who are shopping who are able-bodied, I quite agree with you or the lady who is leave the supermarket open. And on mornings, you will hear, using the same system, A to B will shop from sister to time, C to F will shop sister to time, and in 2 days, you got it finished lock, stock, and barrel. In good times, the banks and the supermarkets are only busy in the first week of the month and the last week of the month. In between, there's a whole Gold Cup race in most of those places.
Well, now, okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for your contribution and really good ideas.
I know there are people who are shareholders of this program and they get 45 minutes apiece. I'm wind up with this now. For the longest time, I have been a proponent of a four-term, four-holiday school year. It used to happen here at a place called MAPS College. You work, a term is 9 weeks. Four nines, mistake, 36. So that's 36 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Four fours, 16. Start the term. I've always been a proponent, especially in recent times with these bad hurricanes. Start the term in October. You get September, which is a very bad hurricane month. So you got that as part of August, and September would be your holiday month. So you go October, November, 8 weeks, come home four. November, December, you're home for Christmas, come home for. And you will see that it will work out. Unfortunately, all examining bodies that I know about, whether it was GCE or CXE, have two exams per year. The regular one that we know about, and then there's the January one. We got to play by play calling dominoes, rub out. They in a crop over this year, they in a independent celebration. Let us start that school year in October.
Mm-hmm.
Have the children going back in a half, only a half a class could go to school right through the, and what you do, just as how the Muslims squeeze their weekend or their timetable in during the holy months of Ramadan, children have to go to school. One half of the class go to school from 8:30.
But we gotta leave it right there. But let me just say to you that you can't put a timeline on when this unfortunate situation will go, to say October or to start school in this month. What we need to do is to listen to the health officials, do what we need to do to fight this virus. The faster we do that, the faster we're going to get out of this. But I want to thank you. It's now 10:24. Don't pass tax. You're on the air.
Good morning, Miss Haig. How are you?
I am as good as I can be. What about you?
Fear to find on the field. You know, when someone tell you cannot go anywhere or do this, you feel like you're panicking. But it's the way we have to just adapt to it, and we are fine. You understand? We'll be fine. It's just that some people are very out of order. They're breaking the curfew. They're doing, you know, nonsense because there's more car now on the road than before. You know? And,
yeah.
You know,
I understand the panic and the fear. I do. But what people have to understand, if they don't listen,
they don't want.
We could be like this next year, this time, and appeal to the old people. We heard a person saying that, I think from the transport board said that they saw some senior citizens and they just wanted to get out and go for a ride and things like that. So it's not only the guys on the block that may be breaking the rules. It's middle class people, it's upper income people, it's elderly people. And some people are just not listening. And the sad part is it's either you want your life or you don't. Do you want to live like this? Because the longer we behave in this way, the longer we are going to have a curfew, which means that the elderly, if someone dies in their age group, they cannot go to that funeral. If someone wants to get married, they can't do it. If you want a baby shower, you can't have it. If you want to buy nice clothes, you can't do it. There are so many things that you cannot do if you don't listen. Let us listen and get COVID out of Barbados.
Yes, Miss A, you know, the next thing is one more thing up with this quickly. The next thing I think the government should do, every pensioners and everyone that get money from the government, I'm not meaning the short-term little handout, I mean, the monthly money, should make to open a bank account. If they did have a bank account, because look at all the papers and all the standing up on your foot swelling. If they have a bank account, They wouldn't need to do that. They would go and draw up the money, what they want. And they got to let them do that, Missy, because it's a waste of printing, and that's why sometimes the checks are late. Because they do not have the, you know, to keep printing and printing. So I think it's about time they learn to use, get a bank account and get a card to use. It's in the UK now. Nobody get no money sent to them by a check. Everyone, don't care if you're getting £100 a week, your money got to go through the bank.
Well, fair enough, but what we got to still concentrate on what can we do now, though. That's
no,
for...
No, but this is a lesson for when...
Lessons learned, yeah.
Over. Yeah, and the next thing is, I'm not going to say it. I would like the news team to listen to ITN News. I'm not saying why. Just listen to, go back and listen to the ITN News, and you will be shocked to hear what's happening in the United States, in the United Kingdom. Okay? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. You stay safe. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Miss Hale.
Good morning.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm okay. What about you?
Well, there's always room for improvement, as I often say, part of my slogan, but thanks. I'm okay, thanks.
Okay,
now,
good.
You've been missing action. I could understand why. And I hope you're doing a lot of success with your business. I hope it's up and running.
You're assuming why.
Huh?
You said you understand why, but you don't know why, so you're assuming.
All right. Okay.
But anyway, let's get to your point. I'm sure you've got a major contribution to make, and it does not include me.
I'm wishing you all the best. I hope you get a lot of money. I've been saying this to a lot of people, so you're not...
let's just say that I would like my life, and I want my fellow Barbadians to want theirs, and we can't spend money if we are dead. So let us look at getting out of this problem that we have first, and we could always talk about the money afterwards.
That was only a lady to success your business. Anyway, I wish you well in that regard. Now, Art, you're the ideal person for me to have my discussion with this morning. But just as an aside quick, I'm still not satisfied with... I've gone in the prime minister position on turning on your water. The Barbados Lighting Policy, they're going to have the river. I've had Mr. Williams with Digicel. I'm still not satisfied with Flo's perspective as regarding assisting in lights of soft touch, et cetera. I'm still not satisfied that I've had them equivocally saying that this is what it is. Now, my discussion is more, you're the ideal person. I wish that you walk through this with you properly. Now, there's a situation that has been ongoing long before your time, and it is intensifying. And it is particularly, we had a lot of calls from persons in St. John, et cetera, and St. Andrew about water. My discussion this morning is about water. And I want to say in my preface properly, the water authorities said that they are on record as that 60% of the water they pump goes back to the, there's some term you all use, waste. You don't say waste, on economical or something like that.
Non-revenue water.
I got to keep that in my head.
Okay.
Unrevenue water. No, I'm starting on that premise and on that basis, and I'll go through properly. And I want you to assist me along the way and my suggestions and let us think, because this is something that out of this COVID and think this is still an ongoing crisis, and this has to be rectified. Now, I am saying, since I've heard that 60% number, I have not heard anything else come down as regarding a new number or a new figure. So I'm still going on to base as about 60% on revenue or what have you.
Non-revenue.
No, that's why I want you to work with me, because you can correct me and keep me in the clear. My take is, I have said, you've known all your reservoirs on the island, and you start piping from every reservoir out. Because, take this into note, we've got pipes that are 100 years old. I'm very clear on that. So you identify every reservoir, and you start piping and come out. Wherever you stop, and you encounter some that you've put in already, incorporate that into what you are now currently doing. And wherever you stop your mark, when you resume, you take up from there and carry on. Eventually, you'll pipe the whole island. You're not going to do it in an hour, or you're not going to do it at $0 cost. We know this. But it's an exercise that has got to be approached vibrance. I'll tell you why. If you have a bucket and it has a hole, and you're putting water in your bucket all the time, but there's a hole at the bottom and it's coming out, you're going to keep putting and you'll never get that bucket filling. That has been my argument from day one. All you're talking about, the aquifer's law and drought, I am clear on that. I am satisfied about that. But if you go and put what you call that new desal, and you put down 100 desal plants, and they're going through the same system of this bad piping, you're going to still end up in the same place. So it's not the amount or the influx of water that you really got to address here. My emphasis should be laid at mending all of those water pipes expeditiously and consistently. You've got to keep at it. It's going to take some years. But one day...
But let me stop there.
Yes.
Why? But that's what they're doing all now. They're still... It's always an ongoing thing to repair pipes. It's always an ongoing thing for the BWA to do mains replacement. Why are you thinking that it's not being done?
I am saying to you, ma'am, I'm saying to you, that I see a pipe on a road burst here.
Mm-hmm.
And down the road, this probably is in the same lineage. Bam, another burst thing. I am saying that it's not reported, and I am not satisfied that there's a lot of clear reports given as to where they are at, and I'm not very clear that there's this consistency from reservoir to reservoir, and you've gotten up there.
So basically what you want to know is, have we seen a reduction in the loss of water from fixing the pipes?
I don't want to show that you are beyond thing, but that is what I want.
Fair enough, even if they have that information, but I can tell you this, even with the repairs and you don't have rain, you're still going to be in problems.
I understand that.
And they're doing, you know, I believe at this stage, and especially now that we're into this COVID situation, I certainly would not want anybody to think that the BWA is not doing everything that is humanly possible right now.
Either. I'm not.
In the wake of what is happening in this country. Let me just be clear. I don't think that there's anybody right now, even outside of the BWA, who has a role to play that they're not trying their best. Doctors, nurses, police, BDF men, the bakers, you know.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
All of these people. So right now at this stage, which I understand what you're saying, and fine, BWA should come and state a little bit more if you want to hear a progress report, maybe in terms of how many mains have been repaired. I think they would have shared that with the public. But if you want that calculated in how much water they'd saved, well, that's a different discussion, and it's something that can happen, but I don't think they can calculate that overnight. But I'll tell you this, and I'll tell all of Barbadians, right now is the time to conserve water as much as you can, because every little drop that you conserve is going to help the people that don't have right now. So, we're going to have to do that, okay? You're doing your part, though, right?
Huh?
Are you doing your part?
Pardon me?
Are you doing your part?
Because I made a point. You remember I talked about when this Miss Lisa Gill joked with me with my age and how long I've been washing my hands. And when I said, if you wash your hand, you wet your hand, you soap, and then you wash off, you don't keep the pipe running all that. I went on here with all of that. But I'm that kind of person that would be doing my part and asking people to adhere, et cetera. I'm with you. I think you're with me. All I'm saying, this is something that has been before your time and long. I was around long. I didn't know about this water piping thing.
I'll tell you this in closing, because we do have to take a commercial break.
Yes.
It's called a work in progress, and that's what life is. And the good thing about it is that once we can see some progress, which I believe that you can see with the BWA, at least they are trying. I know there are some things that I can tell you that I know they can improve on, but there's some other things that I can honestly say, and fixing bursts and trying to save water right now, it's one of those things that I believe that they're trying really hard. But I want to thank you so much for your contribution. As always, this is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning, Jaya.
Good morning.
There are about five concerns I would like to raise with you this morning. The first one is about this frequent hand washing. Don't you think that is going to impact on the scarce water supply that we have?
Actually, no, because you don't have to have the water running while you're lathering your hands. You just have to wet and rub and rub and scrub and wet them again. You don't have to have the water running for 20 seconds to do that, sir.
The number of times that you're going to be washing your hands.
But again, you can still control the how long you have that water running.
Okay, then. All right, the next one is about the smart meter. Is the smart meter supposed to record the amount of water that you use and you pay for that?
I believe that is so.
How do you explain the persons in St. John and those areas who are not getting water, but there's no difference in their bill?
Well, that's been a debate for a while, and I think that's something that the BWA, together with the Fair Trading Commission, will have to discuss what is fair to the residents, because if they have to buy bottled water...
I'm asking that. If they are not getting any water, what is the meter recording?
Well, let's just say that there's something called a minimum charge. Okay, from what I understand, that whether you use the meter or not, whether the water comes on at night, for 2 hours, there's going to be a charge.
They are paying more than the minimum charge.
No, I understand it. That's why I'm saying to you, because I don't have the facts in front of me. If there are anomalies, it is a discussion for the BWA, the customer, and the FTC, the Fair Trading Commission, in terms of what is fair. And if the residents feel that they are not being treated fairly, I believe that they need to go to the FTC, make a report, and have a discussion with the BWA in terms of what kind of rebate compensation they're going to get.
All right, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the acting Prime Minister said the other night that anybody entering Barbados has to observe 14 days manual quarantine. You heard that?
Mandatory quarantine. Mandatory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the health workers came from Cuba, and I am not aware of them being placed in quarantine.
Okay. Well, and I'm meaning what? If you are not aware, doesn't mean it's not happening. Or, better yet, do we know if they were tested before they came out of Cuba and tested when they came to Barbados?
They were tested?
I don't know what I'm saying to you.
They were not tested. They only saw people taking the temperature.
Okay, but because you didn't see something doesn't mean it didn't happen. It's like the tree falls in a forest and no one is there and it fell. Did it make a sound? My point is you want to know if they're tested. We can put that question out there. And we're hoping that someone could come and answer. And it's a fair question. A fair question would be, you said that everyone that comes to Barbados, they will be under a mandatory quarantine for 14 days. So we are hoping then that someone can respond to say, well, they can say, well, that wasn't necessary for the Cuban medical team because maybe they were tested before leaving Cuba and maybe they were tested when they came here. Hence the reason they can just get straight into work. We don't know, but you've asked the question and we'll leave those that know the answer to sort of let us know.
The next day, these same medical persons were down by the monument and they were not practicing any social distancing. I don't know if you saw the picture of them down by the monument.
Yes, I did, yes.
Now, all of them are covered in masks, which I don't understand.
Well, another good question, which could then bring me back to possibly that they might have been tested and all of them present were COVID-free.
You mean tested where, in Barbados or in Cuba?
Could have been tested in Cuba before they landed, before they got here, and tested when they landed. We don't know.
Well, I'm glad if they were honest.
But I would like to think that if I need some medical assistance and I'm relying on those doctors, I would not allow them to go into a 14-day quarantine. I would get some kits, test them. It takes about 4 hours, get back the results, and let them get to work.
I am just telling you what the acting Prime Minister said.
Yes, and I'm telling you what could have possibly happened, but until we get...
She's not making any exception to anybody. She said anybody entering Barbados.
But sir, can I ask you a question? If you were coming from a country and you had the cure for corona, okay? Should we quarantine you for 14 days because...
So you're saying that the Cubans have the cure for corona?
No, sir. I'm asking you. Okay, let me rephrase that because you obviously may misinterpret that. If it is that you were needed to do something right away and the quarantine may not apply to you, what may apply to you would be let's get this guy tested because we can't afford to have him quarantined for 14 days. So that might have happened. That's all I'm saying. It might have happened.
Well,
okay?
I don't know if it has happened. It might have happened. No, mm-hmm. Nobody has said anything about it.
Well, you've asked, and hopefully the question then will be answered. You're hoping to hear from the COVID-19 star during the course of the day, so we can put that question to him for sure.
Another one.
Mm-hmm.
No, under normal circumstances, persons who qualify in Cuba, we ask them to take the Caribbean medical exam. Is this exam going to be applied to these 100 health workers?
Again, I guess your question again will be answered, but look, at this stage, we are in a pandemic and a serious crisis. Sometimes things that would normally happen would have to change the rules and to accommodate a country or to for what is best then in the interest of the world. So even though your questions are all valid, I can understand why some changes may be made to certain things, and I hope that you do too as well, that just because someone says something, it doesn't mean it doesn't change. Remember, we are in a very fluid-like situation. This is a pandemic. There's a lot of things that are going to go wrong. There are a lot of things that we're going to try. There are a lot of statements we may make. But then something else happens that we have to then correct it as we go along. And I hope that you're one of these people that would understand what we are experiencing right now and to know that don't pull everything that someone says to gospel because it can change at some point. Do you understand that?
Okay, finally, this morning I saw the supermarket. The persons were walking with their list. They were observing the social distancing. And employees were coming to them and collecting their list, going to the supermarket, get their goods, bring them back to them, and they pay. I think that is a fairly good idea.
Okay.
Instead, I heard people were not impressed with these $25 baskets and $50 baskets and $100 baskets that they got yesterday.
Okay. Well, as I said, we're not going to please everybody. Right now, we are at war. We are at war with the virus, and we need to get the virus out of this country, out of the whole world. And I hope that you continue to be on board with helping us fight this, okay? But you continue to stay safe, and thank you for your contribution, as always. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, I must say that you have a lot of patience, my girl. Real.
Well, hey. Where am I going right now? We're on a curfew. I have to have patience.
Well. I've got some persons, man. Just don't understand what we are under and what we are facing.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let me get to what I have to say.
Yes.
Apart from the social distancing and the kind of a mechanism they have in place right now, is it possible that we can work the alphabetical order especially for the older persons, a little more relax, because I think the letters are too far apart to accommodate them. If you see the amount of post offices lineups, you would think that they're rationing food or something, man.
Mm.
And another thing, how many constituencies we have in Barbados? Can you help me?
I think 30. I think that about 30. I think we have about 30. Because Michael alone has about 11. So I think there is about 30. But let me just say this, you know, I'm hoping to see an improvement and I believe that there may be one. They've extended the hours today at the post office, and the NIS is also open up between, I think, 9 and 1 o'clock to facilitate the changing of the checks. But it is heart-wrenching. It really is to see the elderly out there in the hot sun.
Yeah, I find because I have something arranged in the constituencies for these older people,
mm-hmm.
so they can get the money changed, you know.
But I don't know if you agree with me. Everybody votes. Well, not everybody votes. Everybody has the right to vote over the age of 18, and we all vote in our areas, right?
Yeah.
There's a church, there's always a school, and so on and so forth. Maybe they could look at that and make it easier on the old people to utilize some of these places so that they can collect their monies there under the supervision of a police officer and a clerical person. You sign for it, and you bring your ID card, and, and you just get in and you get out, as opposed to having everybody at the post office. You can spread it around a little bit. I know the logistics sounds a little bit, you know, a lot, but to me it's worth it just to save, make sure that they're okay.
Yeah, I think so, because it's heartbreaking to see those old people in the sun for hours, and so then when they get to the, like, remember the Bible story, when they get to the pool, the water already touched and the angel gone, and you're lost. You ain't getting to see you. You know, those people...
It's unfortunate, but again, as I said, the situation is not an ideal one. And I'm hopeful that if we have to go into the month of May like this, maybe they can look at another way of getting those checks changed. Because one of the other things I don't understand at the bank, I think everybody feels that way. I think the bank can open up at least twice a week.
Yeah,
at least.
Something, they're all closed. I mean,
say again?
I say they're all closed. This don't really make
basically,
sense.
Yeah.
To what is going on. And then when you have the license authority now closed also. And when they open up, you can imagine the lines again. Even though we get past one section of the virus or the whatever it is that going around, when the license authority open up, you're gonna have a whole set of lines in again, because people are they're on break also. And
but Kadir, does that really matter in the whole scheme of things right now?
It didn't matter, but I said whenever we relax and you open up, start to think what is going to happen. If you want
there's a lot of things. Listen, there's going to be a lot of problems when this whole thing goes. There's a lot of catching up to do. There's going to be probably a lot of job loss and a lot of financial issues and so on and so forth. And there's going to be. And I believe we need to have that discussion. And I believe some people are already having the discussion. For me personally, I want to live. First.
Yeah, yeah.
I think life over livelihood is the first thing first. And if people understood that, all of what we're seeing now and breaking the rules, people need to understand that your life comes first. You can always make money again. You can always do all these different things and get your license and stand up in long lines if you need to. But you cannot bring back another human being. And I think that is the message that needs to resonate with people who are not complying.
Mm. Okay, thank you very much for this.
Thank you, too. Thank you. The time is now 10:55. Good morning. Don't brass tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Greetings to you and to everyone. It has been drawn to my attention that there's a quote going around on the web, social media, under the headline, Bob Quote. And it is actually pointing that this plague could be from God Almighty, because it speaks about epidemic, returning to God and saving my people. But I just want to draw to the attention of the listeners that the Bible says, by evil things, God cannot be tried, neither does he himself try anyone. As a matter of fact, it states, when under trial, let no one say I'm being tried by God. For by evil things, God cannot be tried, neither he himself tries anyone. Some people believe that God Almighty is punishing us with this plague. But that is not the case. As a matter of fact, as you say, this is a war. But when you look at warfare among nations, everybody get hurt. The combatant, the civilian, the soldier, everyone get hurt. But if you look at Sodom and Gomorrah as an example, it was asked of Jehovah, does the true God destroy the righteous along with the unrighteous? And the question was asked, if you find 10 good men in there, I can save the pit. But they cannot find one. So this plague is not from God. God Almighty. These are signs leading us to the end of this very place. And I want to conclude just for the interest of time. It is truly act of disobedience that caused us to be in this situation today. Because the Bible says at Romans chapter 5, verse 19, for just as through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one person, many will be made righteous. And as you can see, ma'am, that disobedience causes a lot of problems right now among the nation, but people will not keep off the road. We need to be obedient. We need to get to understand the scripture. And it will help us, those of us who are willing to be obedient to Jehovah. And in the end times, you might be saved. So God is not responsible for this plague. He's not licking mankind. He's patient with us. He does not desire us to die. He just wants us to live and be obedient to his word. Thank you very much, my dear.
Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm calling to the supermarket fiasco. I will call it because from yesterday I tried calling and no one answered the phone. This morning I did early on WhatsApp, my son WhatsApp because I'm visually impaired. And up to now, nothing, right? I think, right, just like how they're doing for the pensioners, the alphabetic orders, I think they should do it in the supermarket. I know some people said people should know, but you see, when you're on a budget, right, mm-hmm. you cannot buy all of that food stuff, right? You will run short. So that's why some of us are in a predicament, and we need to up our supplies again. Not everybody could go and buy a $2,000 in food, you know, and put down.
Mm-hmm.
With a little, especially people with disability and pensioners, you know, with the little check we have,
mm-hmm.
you could buy certain amounts. And so, and this morning I heard on the news that they say the supermarket, they said they cannot answer the phone because of so many, you know, WhatsApp and emails that they're too busy to answer the phone. And I understand. So I think they should make, you know.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You are under the Council for the Disabled?
Yes.
Do you guys get badges or a ID card or anything to state your
no.
membership?
Not really, no. But I call my representative. Up to now, you know.
Well, let me put a suggestion here, and maybe you can say whether or not you think it can work.
Mm-hmm.
The Barbados Association of Retired Persons, they normally have a card. To show who is a pensioner, well, who's 50 and over, I should say, not a pensioner
mm-hmm.
necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe a card can be put in place quickly for persons with disabilities, and we can go back to the same way of how Massey introduced earlier hours for the elderly and
mm-hmm.
persons who are challenged, and
mm-hmm.
give them a leeway of 2 or 3 hours, and then
yeah.
open up for those who have appointments who are not under the category of challenge,
yes.
and then do it in a way where it is planned
yes.
and properly executed
yes.
under the Barbados Defense Force or police watchful eye,
yes.
so that everything runs smooth. So if we start off the morning at a supermarket with the members of the disabled community and our seniors. Then we show ID card, this is who we are. We give them 2-3 hours to get in to shop and come out safely. Then we open the doors for persons, whether they use last names. I would more go over the ID card numbers and make an appointment. You get an appointment, you're there for 9 o'clock, your appointment is 9:10, another at 9:15. You have about 30 minutes to shop. I'm not talking about the persons with challenges. I'm talking about the quote-unquote norm. And yet, I manage it that way. I don't see if we put that in place. We can also have the online shopping within limits. So if it is that the supermarket can only handle 300 requests a day, we do a combination of that. The elderly and the disabled in the morning, the quote-unquote norm with appointments during the day, and we shut off at a decent time and everybody goes home and we're safe and follow the physical distancing protocols when we shop like we're supposed to do, again, under the watchful eye of the BDF and the Royal Barbados Police Force. What do you think about that?
You were saying appointments, right? So mm-hmm. you don't have to call to make appointments?
You can call and make an appointment. You can either call and make an appointment. If you go down there with an ID card and you leave it open up for all, you're going to find yourself back in the same long lines and trying to get into a supermarket. If you say to them, you have to call and make an appointment, most of these supermarkets, or should I say the one that I shop at without calling a name, you have a customer card and it has on a number. So you give them the customer card number, you just show that, and it's just next to your name. It has Joanne Haig, card number 915. I know that I can be out there. I know that I can get in because they have me on the list. You just have to be able to do it in that way so that there's no backup. If you don't do it that way and you open up those doors between a particular time, everybody is going to rush down there.
Yeah, and I like that, but, you know, it's the calling because so many people will be calling. That is the same thing that is happening now, is the calling, because they're so overwhelmed by the people calling that they're not answering.
Well, if it is that they're going to do, let's just say they're going to open up for 8 hours and take in 30 minutes to shop, 50 person in a supermarket at a time, maybe that's 800 people. If they get requests from 800 people the day before, that's their cutoff point. Any person that sends a message or whatever, they'll just get a response. Your time is X, Y, and Z. You remember when, well, you might not know this. I don't know if you do. I remember the other day I had to try to help someone get a visa. This is a couple months ago. And you have to put in or make a request, and they have to give you an appointment.
Yes.
All right. It's the same thing. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. And you, when you get out there, everybody's out there. They're in the line. You go in and you sit and you wait. This whole thing requires patience, strategy, and for us to just make sure that we follow the rules and don't break the rules. But we need to make some good rules that people will adhere to. I'm not saying that the rules are bad right now. I'm just saying that they need to be improved somewhat. Because then if it was working, then you would not have been calling us this morning with this situation.
They're saying that they're overwhelmed and they can't do the email because one supermarket or the supermarkets were complaining they're getting over 3,000 emails and it started from 4 o'clock in the morning, and so they cannot, they said if they can finish all those emails and grocery is about 3 weeks. People will be getting...
They won't be able to feed everybody. And that's a fact, because they're not really set up to do that on a daily basis. It's an adjustment for them. So what I'm saying is you can still do that and limit the amount of emails or requests you get for online shopping. And you keep your supermarket open for a few hours and you break it up into sections as to who can come when. That way you don't have the lines. Personally, I would have to put the defense force and the police out there early, because sometimes what was happening is that the police would arrive after the chaos.
Yeah.
You need people there before they come. So once you see a police officer there, a member of the BDF, you're not going to play. You're going to get in line. And it's easier for them to control people when people come and find them there, as opposed to them coming to the situation. So lessons learned. I think we tried different ways, but I think we need to go back to the table and we need to come up with something that is not perfect, but it is a way that you can get your groceries safely and in a timely fashion. And myself and all Barbadians, some people will have to wait, yes, but at least we will all get something to eat in a safe manner if we do it in a safer way.
And I would like them to, at least if they cannot, just give an acknowledgement that they receive your thing and they can possess it, that you will know that, you know, instead of
wondering if they have it. Yeah, I heard someone said that they sent an email and no one acknowledged receipt. Right. Again, when a business is not set up to facilitate that, there's going to be a lot of glitches in the system because they're not accustomed. What they're accustomed doing is allowing you to come into the supermarket. What is happening is that people cannot be in close proximity to each other, so they have to manage that. The only way to manage that is to allow for less numbers in and make sure that it's coordinated on the outside by way of an appointment, as opposed to everybody coming down there and hoping to get in today. At least you would know what day and what time you can get into that supermarket.
True.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that you get through. You said you spoke to your MP.
Yes.
And you're getting through?
Well, she sent an email, and we have not got an acknowledgement as yet.
Mm-hmm.
From early morning, but he means 7:30, but 6:30. So I don't know. My son keep checking. So before I call you,
mm-hmm.
I asked him to check again.
Mm-hmm.
But up to now, nothing.
Well, at least I'm glad that you have someone there, your son, looking out for you too.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I wish you all the best, and I know that things are going to work out. And thank you so much for your contribution. I believe it's helped a lot of people too who are in your situation, and hopefully the powers that be will hear and some things will be changed sooner rather than later. Thank you.